Knowledge is power. How y'all doing out there today? I hope everybody is having a good Wednesday, because it means you only have two more days for the weekend is here, so you get your chance to party. That's right. All right, y'all, today is February the 27th, 2013. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Eric Jackson, and we got an interesting subject for you today. Now, I don't know whether we're going to get to it, because I think I have a couple of interesting subtopics as well. So we'll see how that goes. But today's topic of the show is school of life versus formal education. Basically, street smarts versus the universities. That's basically what we're going to be talking about, maybe. I don't know, just maybe we will and maybe we won't. Now, to join in the conversation today, you can just dial in at 347-838-8622. You can email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com or follow me at Twitter at DrivenForLife62. And also there is a Facebook page at Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. All right, y'all, we about ready to get it kicked off up in here. See, and I know why he changed his music. Well, I'll tell you. There was some discussion about what I tell people not to say on the show and the way my music sound, my opening music sound when it comes on. And I thought about it, and they had a point. So, you know, I went ahead and changed it to something a little bit more positive and something I actually do believe in. You know, knowledge is power, and that's for sure. So that is basically why I changed it. Not like I needed to explain it to you, but I thought I would, just so you would know about what's going on, okay? Yes. All right, now for the prerequisite of what we always do before we get started to chatting and talking and all that good stuff. Okay, the show covers some very touchy topics, and every now and then things are said they up some of you out there in the listening audience. What I do want to say, I do apologize at this time. I'm not intending to offend anyone or hurt anyone's feelings. However, you know, this is an adult show, and the adult things is said, okay? And we do encourage open dialogue, and we'd like to hear everyone's opinion. Okay, so let's not talk over each other. And, you know, just let's listen to each other and talk to each other. You know, don't talk at each other and don't yell at each other, because we get more accomplished if we talk to each other. I think that's one of the biggest problems we do have in our society today. We only want to talk at each other, but sometimes we need to talk to each other and sit back and listen, and then, you know, go from there. But if everybody's yelling at one time, nobody's hearing anybody or anything, and the point is lost. And also, please make your responses and, you know, your questions short and sweet, so give other people, the other callers, a chance to respond to it. That way we won't run out at any time. Also, no personal attacks are allowed. We are adults, so let's act as adults. It's just that simple. You know, we don't need to, as I said before, I know I'm apologizing ahead of time, but that doesn't give anyone the right to personal attack anyone that calls in. Because just like you, they're calling in to voice their opinion, which means, you know, it give them the same respect that you think you deserve as well. Okay? And, of course, if any of these are violated, we will not hesitate to go ahead and mute you, and and we'll decide whether we want to let you back in. Now, which I probably will, you know, after a few minutes or a minute or so, I'll let you back in. But if it continues, then I'm going to have to go on and sing you on about your merry way, okay? And that's not a threat, y'all. I'm not threatening anybody. I'm just calling in and saying like I see it, you know, trying to keep control of the consequences. All right. Well, with that being said, we're going to go take a short 30-second break so y'all can hear about this novel that's coming out on November the 13th, and I'll see y'all shortly.
The first in the Just Know series of inspirational fiction novels, No Condemnation by Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress, is heartwarming and emotionally engaging. You will be challenged and changed as you read the gripping story of Trinae Sloan, a young, single mother torn between her misplaced faith and her children's philandering father, and what's best for everyone involved. No Condemnation by Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress will be available in both paperback and ebook formats March 13th at Amazon.com.
All right, y'all, and that's No Condemnation coming out November the 13th on Amazon.com. Make sure y'all go ahead and support the sister. You know, she's doing great things. All right. Now that we have all of the preliminary things out of the way, I had to remix it. Ain't that crazy? Anyway, so let's talk. Let's talk, y'all. Of course, you know, before we get really, really into anything, let's go ahead and get the quote of the day out of the way. Because, let's do that. Life is not about waiting for the storm to pass. It is about learning to dance in the rain. The author is unknown, but that makes a lot of sense. I like that. Life is not about waiting for the storm to pass. It is about learning to dance in the rain. Boy, I tell you, if you learn how to dance in the rain, boy, you got half the problem licked right there. I tell you, just something to think about. Just something to think about. All right. Now, since we have that out of the way, 504, I see y'all there. What's up, Mr. Lowe? And I see guest 7061 in the chat room. Welcome to the show today. All right. First thing up for discussion, and I did find this quite interesting. Colorado school bars transgender first grader from using girls' restroom. Okay. Coy Mathis was born male. However, he identifies female and dresses as a girl. Okay, his parents are filing a lawsuit under Colorado's Anti-Discrimination Act. However, since they have filed this complaint, the first grader is being homeschooled. All right. Now, here's the issue. The school has said that Coy can no longer use the girls' restroom at her elementary school. However, she could instead use the boys' bathroom, the gender-neutral facility bathrooms, which I didn't even know those things existed, or the nurse's bathroom, the district said. What the hell is a gender-neutral facility? Okay, anyway. All right. Anyway, she has dressed as a girl for most of last year. In addition, her passport and state-issue identification recognize her as female. All right, so here's my question. Is the school right for requiring him to dress, to use the male's bathroom, or should she be allowed to use the female's bathroom, being that she is dressing and is identified as a female on her identification? What y'all think about that? Boy, I don't know that. Not, you know, that is kind of hard right there. When I'm placing the link in the chat room in case anybody want to go and check that out. But that is a hard one, isn't it? Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! All right, I already see. I knew Mr. Lowe wasn't gonna let this one stand too long. All right, y'all. Let me bring Mr. Lowe in. Dee. Whoop. Good afternoon, Mr. Lowe. How you doing today, bro?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Oh yeah, great. Having a good workout right now, but I was just going to listen, but man, I mean no offense by what I'm about to say to you, Eric, since we're on the two on the line right now. Hell no, and stop referring to that punk ass boy as a girl. That's a boy. You pull his pants down, that's a boy. I don't give a damn how liberal his parents want to be. That's a boy.
That's a boy, huh?
The confusion. It that right there within itself lets you know that the Lord is not in this because he's not the author of confusion. That within itself. Man, come on now. We got to the point where a kindergarten, a first grader, whatever, is identifying himself as a girl, and the daddy is okay with putting girl on the passport and state ID?
Yeah. Shit.
That's a man that's done a woman thing for him. Straight up.
Okay.
I'm not saying all women are like that, but that's a man that's letting a woman think for him.
Okay. So basically what you're saying is the school is correct in requiring that he going to use the men bathroom, the male bathroom.
Yes, they are correct, and I wouldn't want my child going to a school with some kid like that anyway. If you want to, if his parents and he want to push that, then they should homeschool him and push it at home. Don't bring this out here amongst the rest of these children.
And you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that because that was one of the arguments that the school has made. You know, they're not sure the other parents, once they got wind of it, would appreciate that. You know, with their kids, you know, it would help probably confuse their kids. What do you think about that?
Absolutely.
Well, you just
look at
said
all,
it.
Yeah. Look at all these adults that's confused by looking at Lil Wendy and all the rest of these, Lil Wayne and all the rest of these people. So what did you think a child's mind is going to be like? That's just scrambled eggs, man.
I kind of tend to agree with you. Well, I didn't even know they had what they call transgender bathrooms.
I didn't either.
So what that means? So they whatever you prescribe, the guess whatever you say you are, you can go and use this bathroom. Well, that could be confusing as well.
I'll agree, and I'll ask this question. So that means in the transgender restroom, that means that there's a squatter in there for him to go sit down and pee on. And it's a urinal for the girl to go stand up and pee inside of, huh?
Well, I don't know about the female standing up and peeing. That would be kind of an interesting sight to see there. But
but
I know what you're
identify.
Talking about.
Absolutely. There you go.
I know what you're talking about, though.
So you see the confusion here, huh?
Yeah, that is confusing. But
wow.
I'd like to see that.
Man, you nasty. You got some sick fetishes.
I just want to see because that'd be interesting. I'd be. that's called control, that boy. I tell you,
absolutely. Mm, I mean, don't say that. You know, it's not possible that they won't try to run it because hell, you know they had, remember when they had this one? It was a woman that went and had all these hormone shots and did everything and wound up getting pregnant, and it looked like a man, but it was still a woman, and they was. Had that thing on Oprah and everything, talking about the first pregnant man and all of that shit.
Yeah. I know what I said. I said, hell, it's still a woman. You're still a woman. That's not a man. You weren't born a man, so that don't even count.
Right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. You're right. How are you going to say that a Hyundai is a V12 Mercedes? It doesn't work.
It doesn't work, does it?
No, indeed.
especially when you put them out there for the road test. That's not going to work. You know, hit the gas and get the surprise of your life, I tell you.
Absolutely, man. This is the confusion that these people are running. And all of these things that they are actually bringing, all these different laws and things that they want to pass, they're passing them. Look at how confusing the government is right now as far as what they will and will not do. And so they'll let people fight over this thing in Colorado, what we're talking about right now, while they impose their own wills.
Yeah, you got a point. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how did he get away with getting it done on his passport and state ID?
Well, you know, nowadays it's just whatever you identify yourself as, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. I guess if he go in there dressed as a little female, a little girl, they're not going to question it.
Absolutely. I mean, I guess gender is just like religion now, whatever you decide you want to be, huh?
Yeah, the way it's looking. You just decide, okay, one day I'm going to be a female, all right. Just start wearing dresses, huh?
Yeah. Even though you're missing the ovaries, vagina, rib, and everything else that a female has, you're still a woman.
Well, yeah. Well, you know what, though? Honestly, though, that's nothing that hasn't been going on for a while. They just, I guess, as you say, they just coming out more with it now.
Uh-huh.
That's just crazy.
Uh-huh. But the thing is, you know, I will say, you know, you said that you knew I was going to chime in on. You just have to have people that's willing to stand up and stick to their own morals and values, man. If you don't have any, then you or principles, you stand up for nothing. You lay down for everything, you know. It's just some things that I will not and am not going to tolerate.
And I agree with that because, you know, I was looking and I was like, well, you know, the school system actually has a point. You know, if they start letting this boy dressed up as a girl go and use the girls' bathroom, how the little girls gonna feel? You know, they're not even ready for that. You know,
right?
And then,
right. Then
they say, well, you know, he may come under some teasing and whatever if he used the boys' bathroom. Well, my thing is, start dressing like a boy, and you won't have to worry about it.
Yeah, my thing is when he first came. I mean, I didn't mean to cut you off, but when he first came out and he was starting to crawl and everything. You should have instilled in him that he was a boy because that's what he was made to be.
Don't see
all of this confusion. Don't put a G.I. Joe and a Barbie doll in front of a kid and ask them which one they want to play with, a child. Don't ask them because sometimes you're the parent. This even with whether you're going to feed them a meal or you're going to let them eat candy all day. It's up to you because you are the parent to instill in this person what they need and what they don't need. And it's up
to you
to give them what they need and don't need.
Yeah. You know what? That goes back to our show we did a couple of weeks ago about homosexuality. Is it you born with it or are you created? And,
absolutely.
You know, here it's definitely it's being created. Now, I'm not going to say, I ain't going to say he's straight either, but
right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's still, I don't know, boy, I tell you, that's got to be one confused little child right there. And I got to blame his parents because his parents, they're enabling this, in other words,
right.
You know?
Right.
We can stop
right.
this, and but they're going to cause him more problems than a little bit as he gets older,
right.
You know? Because, you know, little kids, little kids don't care what they tell you.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
they are
true.
Ruthless. They speak their mind.
That's true. And, so. and the thing is that they're more honorable than adults are because they will speak their minds.
Yes, goodness. All right, let's see. We got somebody else with hand up. Let's see who this is. Boom, boom. Happy Wednesday to you on Let's Talk. Can I have your name and what's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Eric. This is Mr. Solution. How are you?
Well, hello, Mr. Solution. How are you?
All right, just good. Yeah, I was just reviewing this article here, and a point they made here, gender identity often gets confused with sexual orientation. The difference is that gender identity is who you are, and sexual orientation is who you want to have sex with. And this is Dr. Joanna Olson, professor of clinical pediatrics at the University of Southern California. Oh, I know. I don't know her, but I know where she is. The thing is that this is no different from the general confusion amongst people. I won't even say the genders, because when normally, if there's no such thing, I think, as male or female thought. But if you look at the cultural underpinnings, there is supposed to be, some distinction made between male and female. But most people don't know what those are, trust me. And they may have a feeling about this, but really no knowledge about it. Now, this for a child, developing, this can be confusing. But this thing about using the bathroom, aren't there unisex bathrooms? And say, for example, in public, a husband and wife can't use the same bathroom in many instances, whereas at home they do. I mean, there's just so much silliness. And when you go to use the bathroom, isn't that what you're in there for?
Yes, that's what you're in there for.
Why not just have stalls where people get their asses in there, use the bathroom? I've never used the bathroom as a hangout place. How about you?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you go in the bathroom to do whatever business you have, and you get the hell out.
I might be a pervert, and I might look over the stall.
You might be. But the point is that, I mean, what's the gist of the problem here? I mean, other than the feelings, when you really pare this down, what is the real issue at issue?
Well, I would take that the real issue would be, one, you're confusing the child, but he's in the first grade, okay? And now you have other first graders going around. He's a little boy, but he's dressed up as a little girl and is being identified as a little girl. So now you're confusing the other kids. No, because they're going to come back, well, mommy, so-and-so dressed like a little girl. So I don't know. Maybe it's a prejudice that I have. I think he dressed as a boy. Now, when he gets older, he wants to dress like a girl. That's on him. But as far as a first grader, no, I can't go with that one.
Okay.
So that's the problem I have with it. It's this confusion that it's actually it could create. Between the other kids.
And what do you see as the logical conclusion, outcome, or tragedy?
Well, the outcome would be to have him dress as a boy when he's in school. He was born a boy, he should dress as a boy. That's what I say. I mean, because if they continue to let this on, they setting the child up for some very bad ridicule coming from the kids. Because kids, kids going to speak what they see. They're so innocent, they're going to say what they want to say.
But haven't we, I see what you're saying there. But haven't we identified that as a problem in and of itself? I mean, with some of the bullying. Kids need to be explained. Now, I couldn't bully anybody when I was in school. If my parents got wind, and I wasn't a real big kid at first. I grew later on. And you know how it is with some people, they grow in spurts. But that's more or less a parental conditioning and discipline problem than just, something that's left up to the kids, because kids need to be monitored. And if they're beating up or bullying other kids, that is where adult intervention needs to occur. Are you considering that?
Okay, yeah, I'm considering that. But when they're out on the playground and the teacher may be busy with somebody else, it's just the thought of what could happen to this little boy. I understand what you said about the bullying and they need to be watched and all that, but, the teacher is not going to be able to watch them, 24/7 or what have you.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because, now we can expand it to where it really needs to go, I believe. And that is the problem of bullying and kids that are abusive. That needs to be kept in check. I think this is a particular issue, and I'm not saying it doesn't raise some problems. It does. But the bullying that goes on in school is a much larger issue, and particularly when you have kids taking these drugs. I think a lot of these school shootings and many of these what appears to be senseless killings are the result of kids who are on drugs, and that totally removes, I believe, their senses of right and wrong. It makes them, you know, basically psychotic, and then they go back and kill their and you hear about these school shootings quite often. But I think the main problem is that we have neglected to properly discipline our children so that they're not bullies. Some kids are horrible. They should be in jail. Some kids literally should be in jail. All they go to school for is to abuse other kids, take their money, take their lunch, you know, so on and so forth. And if a kid is on drugs that they're abusing, you know, it could end up tragically.
Well, which drugs are you referring to? The prescription drugs or just, you know?
Yes.
Oh, okay, because I will agree with that. I did read something on that the other day. The majority of the children that have committed these crimes were on some type of psychotropic prescription drug or something, you know. I personally know people that started out on Ritalin, and because some doctor told the mother, parents, or whatever,
you should have stayed on Ritalin.
I've never been on Ritalin. I've always been a hyper young man. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's going on?
I'm good. But yeah, I've known people. I know people personally, and one guy actually grew up, started out on Ritalin, and it went from Ritalin to marijuana, from marijuana to coke, and he's just out there now.
Yeah, I think the drugs are definitely overprescribed. I have no qualms about that, no compunctions about that whatsoever. But I think the issue that we're failing to see, and I'm not undermining or subordinating, you know, the potential teaching lesson, you know, of gender confusion. Although, again, we don't really know what gender is. I'm telling you, we don't know where to go on this issue, particularly in the 21st century with, you know, men and women being treated equal under the law. But the real problem that I see that is, underdeveloped and not dealt with, and that is the proper discipline of kids so they won't be bullies. I wasn't a bully in school. Now, sure, you know, being a kid, I mean, you'll push another kid or make a joke or something, but not this sustained vitriolic, you know, debasing and demeaning of another child. Not that.
Well,
and that is a problem with the school and more so with the parent or lack thereof of proper parents. But anyway, those are just my observations, so I'll hang out a little while.
Okay, that was the point I was going to ask. You know, can you kind of trace the bullying back to the parents? You know, something that they may see that's going on inside the home? And they just reacting what they see?
Of course. There was an incident brought to my attention where two siblings were fighting. And, I think they were at a daycare or but they were, you know, boy and girl from the same home. And I think it was the girl pounding on the little boy. He was smaller. And, excuse me, this turned out to be behavior that they were mimicking from home. So, sure. That's always the genesis of the problem is the parents, because they own the kids. Those are whose kids?
The parents' kids, their kids.
Yeah, those kids belong to the parents. And so it's always a parental problem. Anything, and I'm going to tell you something without any compunction whatsoever. Real parents take ownership for what their children do. Because their children are a reflection of them. I mean, don't you, and I don't know if your parents are still alive, mine are, but I'm always conscious of what my parents think. Now, it's just a natural thing now. But you see some kids do things and you think, damn, I mean, don't they care about their parents? Because your parents, trust me, are always, well, they're in your corner, they're bragging on you. You are a reflection of them, period. So mm-hmm. what you do in the public is a reflection of your parents. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so aren't you concerned about, I mean, think of some of the things that you could have done. You know, as it was said, the devil made me do it. But knowledge of how it would impact your parents, what your parents would think, doesn't that have a curbing, controlling, and disciplining impact on what you do?
Yeah, it does, because you have to think about that. And I'm not going to embarrass my parents.
Exactly.
I mean, that's not going to happen.
But that's my point. And see, we don't bring that out often enough. I am often just absolutely, I'm flabbergasted. I'm shocked to no end the level of intelligence that's lacking in most conversations and perceptions.
Mm.
I'm talking about a highfalutin, you know, way up there, erudite necessarily, just the basic lack of intelligence and understanding. But anyway, I think this is where we are with this. It's the parents. It's the parents. It's the parents. And those kids that would be abusive toward this kid or any other kid, just don't say anything about it. To hell with it. I mean, I was a kid. You're in school to learn. You're not there to ridicule and, be abusive toward other kids anyway. And that's something that the parents need to look, if someone had come home and told my parents I was being abusive, I would have to answer for that.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm just saying. I was in school to learn.
Oh, yes.
Something to study? I think I can give you something to study. Why are you wasting your time, I mean, doesn't this make sense? I mean, isn't this just, basic, fundamental, or should be?
Yes, it is. I think so, yes, without a doubt. That's what I was always told when I was in school. That's what you're there for.
I hate to swing the conversation back around, but I'm going to. As far as the 21st century, all this and all that, and male and female roles or whatever, that's, to me, that's on a case-by-case basis because, first and foremost, I'm not going to have my daughter or my wife outside doing something that I know good and damn well they don't need to be doing, all this yard work and everything. I know this past Sunday I went by myself with my chainsaw, my axe, and I chopped a load of wood for my fireplace. I didn't need my woman out there. What the fuck was she going to do? She'd only be in the way. So I think that there are places where a man has to say, this is what I'm supposed to do. And it's stuff that a woman is supposed to do. I don't give a damn about these 21st century thinking people, let's say let everybody be all equal. Equality is the problem with the world right now. Because first and foremost, I'll bring it back to a biblical stance. There was no equality in the Bible. A man was first before all. So as far as all things go and everything being considered an equal, I don't think that that boy should be raised as a girl. I don't think that if his father was around, he should have allowed any of that crazy silliness to go on. I mean, how does that work? You have a son, but you raise your son as a daughter, and this is back closer to the topic. How does that work? I just have a question on that. I don't understand how that works from a man's perspective anyway.
Because when you're born with that kind of gender dysphoria, you don't have a choice. It's like being gay.
Oh, so you say people are born gay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he was born as a boy.
Well, yeah. He said that people are born gay, though. I don't agree to disagree with that one.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they say, and they should be the authority on it.
Yeah. I can tell you I send it from the moon, too, but...
Yeah, but you're not. But when you're talking to a gay person that you know is gay, if they're telling you I was born like this. I don't have any reason to disbelieve them.
I agree. Well, Joe, you know, as far as a different conversation we've had before, you know, as far as religion is, I'm not a religious person,
mm-hmm.
But I know per se that you personally, you're not spiritual or anything at all. So I would understand your.
Well,
stance.
You can't say I'm not spiritual, though. You can say I'm not. Can say I'm not religious or into the institutional thing, but you can't say.
Okay.
I'm not spiritual.
Okay, well, hey, I apologize.
No, you don't have to apologize. It's just a.
Well, that's just me, Joe. I apologize. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as from an aspect of, you know, well, this person said that they were born like this. When I know that the Most High never created anything like that.
Well,
no.
Okay. Well, they're going to dispute that with you, and
they're
going to say that that's the way they felt ever since first grade or before. And I'm just going to say, okay, because to me it doesn't matter, you know.
But see, and Lo just said something I want to see. Lo said God never created nothing like that, and which he didn't. He created when the child was born. He had male parts. So he was a male. Now, the parents decided that to dress him like a girl, I guess.
No,
so,
wait a minute. Eric, you're saying that they woke up one day and they just decided to take this kid and dress him up as a girl and to change his gender.
Yeah. okay.
Hello? Wait, Joe, where'd you go? there you go.
Yeah. So that's not being born that way. That's creating it, if you ask me.
5 years old, man?
In the first grade?
Yeah.
I'm just staying quiet, Eric, because if I open up my mouth, it's going to be something else.
And don't be scared. Don't be scared.
Okay, you. Where are your fucking brains? You're going to say the fucking parents woke up one morning and they just decided to take little Johnny and they said, we're going to put him in a skirt.
Johnny is in the first grade.
Oh,
so you telling me Johnny woke up and said, I want to put on a dress and I want to be a little girl.
That's what they say. That's what sport is all about. They don't just say, Mommy and Daddy, what am I going to do today? And they say, well, little Johnny, we just decided you're going to wear a goddamn skirt.
But Joe, that, you know, that kind of thinking has to be reinforced. At 1 year old, you know, that has to be reinforced.
Most parents don't reinforce it. There's a case, I don't know if this is the same. No, this can't be the same case. It was a case that was on the news a couple of days ago about an 11-year-old girl. Ever since she was six, she still have her male parts, but she knew she had this strong feeling that she was not a boy. She went to the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist confirmed it. It's like,
oh boy, here you go with that.
Oh Jesus Christ! Do you think people want to be fucking gay or they want to have gender dysphoria in a world that we live in today?
I don't see why not.
Yeah, someone would choose that.
I tell you what. If there are laws, and if the law is 60 miles an hour, and you go and do what you want to do, then that's on you. There are laws in mankind, and if you choose to do whatever you want to do, then that's on you. It's the exact same thing.
So these people were willing to, from the time they're 5 years of age until never. They're willing to have criticism harped on them and even possibly get killed for their particular dysphoria or their particular gender, and they chose this way.
Yes.
Oh, good God.
I'm not changing on that one.
All right. We're going to move on to the next thing because I think the next topic is going to generate even more conversation.
Oh, God, great. That's what I need.
Now, yeah, you need this.
I hope Lady called in on Joe.
Oh, come on.
We don't need that today.
You know
the only person who can calm Joe down, that's Ebony.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a serious talk with Ebony.
Okay, well, do it. You know, call in, let her know. All right, here's the next subject. And this is something that I'm sure we all are aware of. Wealth inequality between blacks and whites worsens. The wealth gap between blacks and whites has nearly tripled over the past 25 years, due largely to inequality in home ownership, income, education, and inheritances, according to a study by Brandeis University. According to a study released Wednesday, by 2009, the median net worth of white families was $265,000, while blacks had only $28,500.
Wow.
The home ownership rate for whites is 28% higher than that of blacks. Whites are typically able to put more of their raises toward accumulating wealth because they already built up a cash cushion. Blacks are more likely to use the money to cover emergencies. Whites were 5 times more likely to inherit money than blacks, and their typical inheritance were 10 times as big. Black graduates are often more saddled with college loans, making it harder for them to start stocking away savings than their white peers. 4 in 5 black students graduate with debt, compared to 64% of whites. And there was a comment on this from Mike. And Mike said, I am an Asian American in my 40s who immigrated with $400 in my pocket 25 years ago. To cut long story short, nothing to do with inheritance, either hard work, save, don't live beyond your means, buy what's necessary, only not as a status symbol, etc., etc. Take a trip outside the U.S. There are families that survive on $5 a day, do not own flat screen TVs or fancy sneakers. So,
first, let me tackle Mike first.
Mike. Here we go.
Mike is here?
No.
Yeah, Mike.
I'm going to put the link in the chat room also, because there's a whole lot to the story. But go ahead.
I saw the headline, but I didn't read the article.
If Mike and I are standing in a nice department store, and 9 times out of 10, and we have on the exact same outfit. I'm standing on one side, he's standing on the other. 9 times out of 10, I will be the one that will have somebody to come up and watch me and all of this and all that. Mike, you go ahead and you do what you want to do. Hey, you look around. If you see something you want, then purchase it. If not, then, hey, we enjoyed you being in here looking. But me, hey, get in, buy, and get out. So I say that to say this. As far as Mike is concerned, Mike, hey, the door is open for you to come here and to educate yourself as well as anybody else, but you still don't have the stigma that I do. You don't have the skin I have. I've never seen anyone other than a black person beat up by the police on camera, on film, and the police still walk away from it with no charges. Nobody. If it happens, show it to me.
They've done it to white people. You can go to YouTube. Go to YouTube and look up police brutality or police abuse. You'll see white people getting their asses kicked. Demonstrations, protests. You'll see.
But I'm missing the point. I mean, you know, what about, as he said, this goes back to Mr. Solution things about the year savings. I mean, year worth of pay, you know, income savings.
Yeah, the 3 things, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the elimination within 12 hours, you know, and your monthly bills current. You know, it stands out as if those things are taken care of, you're on the right track. But as the article said, most blacks aren't able to do that because, and I hate to say it, Mike is kind of right. Some are living beyond their means. You know,
some are,
they're trying to deal with the Joneses. So
some are,
you know, we all know the wealth gap wasn't all that great in the beginning. You know, to begin with, but.
Now, Eric, let's be honest too. Now, let's also look at the fact that some doors will be open to Mike before they will be open to you.
Well, yeah, and I'm tell you why. Because Asians help each other.
Not even
that's
just
simple.
An Asian and an Asian.
Huh?
Now, let's not just saying an Asian helping another Asian. Let's look at it from the aspect of a Caucasian helping an Asian, or a black person, even a black person, because, you know, nobody hates you like a black person do. Because if we get mad at each other, we hate the hell out of each other, right or wrong.
Yeah.
And that lady just the other day said on the show, if your name is the wrong thing, she won't even consider your application solely from your name.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's be honest. In the black communities, and as blacks, you know, we do have self-discrimination all over the place. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I can speak on these things because, like I said before, I'm not bragging or boasting. I have all three of those qualifications met. And so I'll speak on this. You know, it's always going to be there, regardless to how anybody puts it. You have somebody from the outside looking in, saying, well, you know, the black people, they can do this, that, and whatever. If you've never been black, how can you tell me anything about what I can and cannot do, or this is all you have to do? Because I know a lot of people that have went to college and chased this American dream and live right at their needs, not going be above or below, and still haven't arrived to that quote-unquote American dream. But they in debt behind all this damn school loans and everything they did to try to get to that American dream.
Most whites don't get there either. There's a study done that, yeah, inheritances mean something, but something like only one out of every, four or five, I forget what the total is, out of all Americans, they don't get to be a millionaire. There's only about 5 million millionaires in the United States.
Well, we're not talking about millionaires or billionaires, Joe. We're just talking about, you know, plain regular folks.
Well, you're talking about
yeah.
the income gap. You're talking about the disparity in
wealth. We're not talking about the 1% or the 5% that just control most of everything in the United States. We're not talking about that. We're talking about normal, everyday folk, you know, that go to work. You know, just like me, you, and Lo, and Mr. Solution, you know, we just go to work every day trying to make the better a better life for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But there is that difference.
Yeah, that's true. I did happen to read something, and it still holds true now. Eric, I know you know. Back in the day, grandma or whoever, they had an insurance policy, and when they died, the whole family still had to come together to put them in the ground, you know, to get money to put them in the ground. And that's one thing that whites did take advantage of far and beyond black people, is using insurance policies to ensure that the people behind them will have a little bit of money, not just taking all of it, the bulk of it, and putting towards a burial, as it were, you know, and having bills to get paid that would be left behind, and, you know, maybe a little something set there for the person, you know. Those are things that we never took advantage of. And, you know, a lot of it had to do with, I won't say just trying to live beyond our means and trying to be like other people. Some of it just had to do with, hey, you know, I just don't make that much money, so I'm just taking care of my bills and my family.
Well, I think one of the major problems is because, for example, either 6 million or 10 million manufacturing jobs have been exported overseas in the last 10 years. So that means there isn't that much of an opportunity for the blue-collar workers to really get work. So that means that a lot of blacks are going to be unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of blacks graduate from high school. Not a lot of blacks graduate from college. So without employable skills, you really can't expect to make a lot of money in this kind of economy.
Right. Legal money anyway.
Yeah, legal money.
Yeah.
What people have to do is work their ass off.
Uh-huh.
Now, black people aren't going to like to do it because, you know, well, we're Americans. Yeah, well, okay, that's cool. But there's such a thing as prejudice. And for people to overcome that kind of prejudice, the white privilege which people talk about, which I happen to agree actually exists, black people are going to have to work harder. They're going to have to graduate with good marks. They're going to have to graduate more often. They're going to have to go to better colleges, and they're going to have to graduate with good marks in order to get the jobs that are available. And let me tell you,
It's not easy for people with pale faces to get jobs. Now, forget about this economy or not. You have no idea how hard it was years ago for me to get the kind of job that I still didn't get the job I wanted. I had to go and settle, okay? So this thing of, you know, it's always boiling down to black versus white. I have yet to have anybody tell me about the real, I like to have somebody make a documentary on prejudice in America. Because in order to have that really come out to be truthful, you're going to have to take a black person and a white person with the same background, same academic background, go apply to the same jobs, and see how many times the black person gets rejected and the white person doesn't, in order to find out if there's real prejudice or not. Now, yeah, there's an example of a white person, I think once or twice a couple of black people got rejected in order for a white person who was a convicted felon to get the job. But the thing is, most blacks are not, do not have employable skills in today's economy. That's just the truth of it. Most blacks don't have more than a sixth grade education, and they do worse than whites on standardized tests. That's just a fact. Now, people can point to, well, the educational system is poor. And I have to say that's a legitimate excuse, because the educational system in the urban areas is nowhere near what it is in suburbia or in, metropolitan cities. They're getting crummy too. But black people have to compensate for that. And in order to do that, they have to be pushed beyond just what the badass schooling is. And if people aren't willing to do it, black people are always going to stay at the bottom of the totem pole. And they're always going to be blaming Whitey. Whitey deserves a lot of the blame, but not all of it.
So you are very brave to say these things. And I commend you for that.
Am I saying anything that's not true? That's not yet.
No, you're not. No, you are not saying anything that's not true. You're right on.
Yeah. But I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just saying.
No, you're not. You're telling the truth, man. Hell, hey, just like Eric said, we talk about some adult topics, man. Just tell the truth.
Yeah, I mean, it's out there in the papers. If you take a look at the stats, blacks are not graduating. I mean, I think something like 60% dropout rate for blacks. It's not that good for whites either. I think there's a 20 to 30% dropout rate for whites, too.
I'll agree.
For the past 20 years, America's been going downhill like really, really slow shit. But it's still affecting the black community a hell of a lot worse than it is the white community. But it's not always Whitey's fault. Because,
yeah, that's true.
You know, and I've been on so many shows, and it's slavery. Well, slavery had a lot to do with it. Jim Crow had a lot to do with it. But Jesus, in the 40s and the 50s, is it not true that blacks had nuclear families? They only had 10 or 15% illegitimacy rate.
Mm-hmm.
90% of blacks who were married, I think they were married for 10, 15 years. And I think something like 80% of blacks were married in the 40s and the 50s. So even though, you know, segregation and hatred towards whites was more obvious then, black people seem to have done better in the 40s and 50s than now. And what I'd like to know is why outside of the educational system. Because I remember black power was in the 70s. That was pretty powerful. You know, black people wearing dashikis, had the really nice coiffed hairstyles. And James Brown was singing, I'm black and I'm proud. You had Muhammad Ali. It was a hell of an era, should have been, in the 70s for black people. All of a sudden, I don't know what happened. It seemed like as soon as December 1st, 1980 hit, all that shit went out.
Well, yeah. I think something that had a very damning effect on the whole thing is, you know, like I said the other day, when Oreo gets his education and he gets the hell away from the community,
mm-hmm.
What do we have to look forward to? I mean, what does this? I mean, let's say.
Well,
you
what's
have
I got to do? But low, let me. We had this discussion before. What the hell does it matter? Somebody
it
escapes the community. He has no obligation to go back to the community.
I never said going back. See, that's the thing that you get all of these condescending bastards say. Oh yeah, I went back to the community. I went back to. Don't leave. Stay there.
Why would somebody want to stay in a community where it's the ghetto?
If it never starts anywhere, then it never starts at all. If one person can make a difference, and all you have to do is be willing to say, well, you know what, this is where I came from, this is where I love, and I'm going to put my passion into this. I'm going to try to change this thing because now I can go in above and beyond just saying, I own a bar room or. I own the pool house, the pool hall. No, I work at the Sears Towers, and I'm a corporate executive or whatever the case may be. Bring your children to talk to me, and you come and talk to me. We're going to set up something in the rec center so we can talk. We need to get our community back to where it was before. If you never have that, then nothing will ever change. Only thing those children will see is those damn videos with Lil Wayne and big cars and selling drugs. And that's the only thing that's going to be perpetuated in that society, in that community, until the people that have, quote, unquote, actually made it and arrived can say, well, hey, you know what? That's where I came from. I love that community. I love the people in that community. And we need to get back on track. Then nothing will change. It's not going to take somebody white from the outside coming back in and say, I'm a philanthropist. I'm coming in to help everybody. I will respect, as a young child, I would respect a black man who looks more like my father before I would a white man coming in there and leaving back out. I'm just giving you the skinny of it.
Yeah, but if he comes in and you're living five blocks down, you never met him. He's got his own store. Doesn't mean anything. Black people are still waiting for a messiah. Black people have to just do it within their own family and stop waiting for other people to be a role model. Like Barkley said, he's not a role model. Asians don't have role models, but they do better on SATs and they have the higher household incomes than anybody in America. Jews, they're
Jewish people.
Yeah, Jewish people. What do they do? They make sure within their own family, everybody gets a college education. Nobody's escaping without a college education. And if you can't get a college education, you better be the goddamn best plumber in that fucking neighborhood.
I don't think that black people are waiting for a messiah. I don't really believe that. History shows you that waiting for a messiah will get him killed. Medgar Evers, MLK. The list goes on and on and on. We're not waiting for a messiah. I mean, back then, you think about it. Hell, you had these organizations, such as you mentioned, the Black Panther Party.
Black Panther Party.
I mean, I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. I'm thinking about them because you said the Sheikis in the 70s and all
yeah.
of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those people started out. That organization was started out as an honorable organization to help the community.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
But federal government came in and
well, you're right about
up.
That. COINTELPRO fucked everything.
Right.
They killed.
We have had numerous organizations in our community start and say, hey, you know what? We need to fix our own community. We're not looking for anybody to come in and do anything for us. We want to be self-sufficient. And they start an organization. They'll bring some Uncle Tom in there and he'll fuck it all the way up.
Well, again, I mean, you've got CORE, you got the Urban League, you got the NAACP.
The NAACP
these organizations,
is for all colored people, not just black people.
Yeah. But they're not doing anything. As far as I know, they're not doing anything.
None of them are. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I posted something on our Facebook the other day. I was reading at the United Way. You know, I mm-hmm. think if you give them a dollar or $10 or something like that, only a dime goes toward the United Way. The rest of them, and they was putting the salaries of the people that it's actually over these organizations,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so a lot of that stuff, a lot of those nonprofit organizations the people that actually run those organizations get the bulk of the money, and only a very small, minute percentage of the money, like the Red Cross, goes to the people that they're actually assisting.
Which is all the more reason for black people to say, you know what, fuck everybody else. I'm going to make sure that my kid gets a good education, goes to a good school, gets a good job, and saves up the money, gets a good neighborhood.
I can agree with that. I can. But if you have the mother, let's say she's 40,
mm-hmm.
the daughter is, no, let's not even give her 40, let's give her 37. The daughter is 16, and the grandbaby is 1, and you already have a problem. And there's no father in any equation there. You already have a problem. So you're absolutely right. On one hand, some of the things that Obama said as far as, you know, lacing up your bootstraps and all of that bullshit, I'll go with some of that. You know, but on the other hand, hey, you know, some of the things that's perpetuated out there in our communities, you know, shouldn't be there. A fucking liquor store on every corner. You know, you bringing all of these things in to promote disharmony in the first place, you know.
Yeah, and it's up to the individual family to make sure that their kids aren't going to be involved with the gangs. If there are gangs there, then the father and the mother should say, you know what, we got to leave this community. We got to work two jobs if that's what's necessary to
mm-hmm.
leave this community so that our kids can enjoy a safe, non-hostile environment.
Yeah, I'll agree.
Yeah. And there are a lot of people who make it, who make those sacrifices, and a lot of people who don't.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I understand that white privilege and whitey is responsible for what happened to Jesus, to the degree where almost the black race got exterminated, just like the Indians. Torture, which is what slavery is, you know, so a lot of people want to say slavery was, you know, really just practically cooperation between blacks that were dragged over from Africa with plantation owners. Nah, you don't get whipped when you have a cooperation. It was torture, you know. It was slavery was torture.
All right. Well, hold on. Let me bring Antonio in. I'm sure he got something to say. But I ain't mean to cut you off, John.
No, sure. No problem.
But I want to put this out. 27.4% of blacks was living in poverty in 2010 as part of the last census. So, oh my goodness, that's a whole lot. So maybe that has something to do with it. Of course, we're not doing anything to help ourselves either. Well, that's all I'm going to say right now.
Well,
hello, Antonio?
Mm-hmm. Yes. How are you doing, Eric?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for joining us today. What's on your mind?
I was just listening to you guys at first about education, formal education, versus what informal or school of life.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I just got in late, so I have to listen to a little bit more.
Oh. Okay.
So I can come in and give
and disrupt everything. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, whatever. Anyway. Anyway. So, I'm sorry, what you was going to say, Joe?
You know, I forget the name of either the book or, I think it's probably a book. It's a woman who came over here, she's an Asian woman, Chinese, and she's talking about, I think there's another book out that kind of parallels it, talking about the life of being raised by their parents who were Chinese immigrants. These kids had no life. Which is, you know, sad because they had to sacrifice their childhood in order to become successful as adults. But their Asian parents made sure that these kids did their homework, did not play outside if they were in neighborhoods where there were, influences which were negative, got good grades, not just passing grades, got damn good grades, and absorbed the Chinese culture along with the American culture. And it was hard because Asians are not that smart. They're just as smart as everybody else or as dumb as everybody else. They just fucking study their asses off because they know when they come home, the first thing they're going to get when they go through the door is, let me see your report card. And they want to make sure that report card is fucking good. So
is torture a way to get kids into into shape there?
Hmm?
I said, is torture a way for getting kids into shape? Because they're kind of like brutal to their own children. Because you can hear a lot of times that there's a lot of pressures on them. And like in China, I think there's like many of them commit suicide as well if they don't meet to their standards.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, the Chinese culture is rough on themselves, yeah. So, but they're making it. Now, they had to sacrifice, like I said, their childhood. But they may complain about not having the childhood, but they, when they grow older and have their own kids, that's when they finally appreciate the parents. I think it takes, it's too long in the making, you know. But if
Well, that's the thing. They have a culture of, they're pretty much almost act as one. We're in the black community, we're just individuals here. I mean, there is a group, I think Mr. Solution referred to as the elites. They have like their own network where they help each other out. And the only way to be a part of it, you have to either come from a certain family or go to the right schools. And if, when you go through that system, you can be part of this group. And they help each other out. They do it secretly. You don't hear them really discussing what they do with the masses, particularly poor black people. But they do among themselves.
And I think rich people probably can find more cooperation a lot more easily amongst themselves because they have more to lose than poorer people. But poorer people should adopt the same type of networking. If they don't, it's on them.
Yeah, well, we talked about this so many times over the years and within the community, and it's just not, for some reason it's just not coming through. I mean, yeah, there might be some here and there, but not necessarily enough. I mean, like yesterday, that's what I said, like the point of the civil rights movement was to get the opportunities available to those that weren't available before and then come back to the community and teach others. And I said yesterday that it was like they got the opportunities, but they never came back.
Well, I don't know if that was the point of the civil rights movement.
Well, part of it, like
maybe
the essence
for some
of it, because
when those
opportunities were not available, those opportunities were not available, you know, they're just as poor as everyone else or what have you. But the thing was, as like any other group, usually you once you make it, you come back to help your people.
Who says that?
Well, that's what happens. I understand exactly what Antonio's saying. But hold on, let me bring another caller in, all right? Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. Yes, I just started listening.
Good
and,
fucking Jesus.
You see what I'm saying? This is like, he's very disrespectful and ugly. But anyway, this is one of the, you want to know why black people are in the position they are? Just listen to the language. Listen to the disrespect. And is there any wonder? And these are supposed to be the professional people. You know, so what do we expect of our children? I just want to know, just have a suggestion that if anybody's wondering, if they want to really learn more about what's really taking place and why things the way they are, it's multidimensional. But if you would listen to Neely Fuller Jr., and that's N-E-E-L-Y Fuller Jr., and Dr. Frances Kress Welsing, that's W-E-L-S-I-N-G. She's an M.D. and a psychiatrist. If you want to know why things are the way they are, then I would suggest that you listen to, they're on YouTube and they're also, they're both interviewed on Blog Talk. Very interesting. Very interesting. I think just focusing on one aspect, you know, about black people don't want to do this and don't do, and, you know, a lot of it's their own fault. I think that's kind of short-sighted. Yes, we are responsible up to a point, but if the whole system has been designed to get the results and that they have achieved the results, I mean, then you have to start, you know, really looking at the system. People want to look at the outcome of the system that's been set up, but they don't want to really deal with what's really going on.
Let me ask you a quick question.
It's easier to blame the victim of all of it than it is to attack the perpetrator.
Let me ask you a question, because I've heard you mention these people's names before. What is the gist of what they have to say?
I mean, I can be honest with you. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to pay them any attention because, you know, I pretty much
understand. You know
it. You
know it all. I know. I understand.
No. You just said they know it all. I never said I did.
I said if you want to get a more rounded perspective, these are people that have dealt with this issue for 40, 50 years. They're not just talking.
Really? Oh, okay.
Absolutely. Francis Wilson used to teach in the medical school at Howard University of psychiatry and lost her job because she was speaking too much of the truth. So that's what I'm saying. If you want to get a more rounded perspective, a different perspective, or people that are not afraid to speak the truth and play the victim, then you
So what's the truth?
That's what I'm asking. What's the truth?
I said to listen to it. You don't have to. You know, you don't have to. I'm just, you know, making a suggestion.
So can't you summarize what it's about?
You said that she got fired. What did she get fired for? What was she teaching?
Oh.
I gotta go. Bye.
Well, I mean, if she's talking about white supremacy, that's
probably.
No, but that's,
well, damn.
That's the gist of the work is white.
No.
Yeah, well, damn, that's the stuff we already know about. I mean, you know.
No, you don't know it to the level that they explain.
What I think she's trying to say is they go a little bit deeper than what
we
know.
They go
what
a lot deeper.
All right, so
yeah.
What is the summary of it? What you listen to it, what's the summary?
What did you just hear me say twice? Why are you demanding that I speak to something?
Because he said he wasn't going to listen to it.
Right. So, well, he doesn't have to, then he's not ready to learn.
Well, that's okay. So then, since you learned.
So then, if he doesn't want. No. Since he doesn't want.
All right. So, again, it's somebody else's thing, somebody else's problem, and you don't want
to
cooperate. And all right. Don't you have a date with a $1 billion sugar daddy?
Hey, don't you have a date with a dude?
All right, We're not going through that. We're not doing that today.
Yeah, well, I just have one thing to say on that because I really don't appreciate, you know, he doesn't want to. Wait, lady, I'm bilingual, I'm black, and I'm not Spanish or any of that bull crap. I'm bilingual, I've been to more than 30 countries, and I've done a hell of a lot in my 37 years here, so don't tell me what I don't know or don't want to learn. So all I
ask is, what is the gist? You don't want me to listen. If you don't want to listen and learn for yourself, there's nothing for me to say to you. You will talk and have all these experiences. Why even bring it up? I'm just putting it out there because there's other listeners that they might want to learn from these people.
Well, you're soliciting them. I just wanted to know what's the gist of what. I mean, give me one specific thing then, please.
I'm not going to even go there.
Back to the topic, Eric. Back to the topic. We can
wait
all
a minute. Wait. What were those names again?
She's
having phone issues. Okay. All right. She's having phone issues. Well, you know what? I'm going to say this about the whole situation. You know, as black folk, I do agree with her. We need to stop playing the victim because, you know, I understand, you know, this hard for us, this and this hard for that. But we caused a lot of it on our dang on self. Is that not a true statement?
Hey, Eric.
What?
No. She didn't say to stop playing the victim. She is making black people the victim. She's blaming the system. So you're interpreting it different than what she is.
Well, okay. All right. Well,
I agree with you because that's what I've been saying.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, there are victims, but people have to overcome it. If you keep on saying, poor me, blame them, then nobody's going to go anywhere.
Mm.
That's true. That's very true. And you know, I can say it, as long as we're okay with going and buying the old-ass, brand-new Michael Jordans for $300 on the day they come out and we stand in line for 10, 15 hours to get them, black people don't mind doing stuff like that. You know, they'll take their money and throw it away on anything that they don't need. You know, rims. Right now, you'll find more rim shops that about to make a ton of money off black people. Radios and cars, a ton of money right now because of these little income tax checks. Money that could help them actually get ahead and, you know, set aside a little something, maybe for something that comes along in the future or just to have some money on standby, you know. But, I don't understand. I can't understand why it is so important. It's been indoctrinated in us to only live for stuff. And I said it before. Stuff is not that important to me. I had stuff all my life. Stuff is not that important to me. You know, if black people are only successful if they drive a certain kind of car, they own certain types of clothes, they only live in a certain neighborhoods, you know, and that's self-hatred. When you boil it all the way down, I mean, a white person, I know white people that are successful and, you know, they make a good living and everything, and they'll go to Walmart to get a pair of Wrangler jeans and will be just as comfortable and everything else.
No, there's a lot of keeping up with the Joneses and the white community, too. And don't forget, when the iPhone came out, like about a month or so ago, it was around the time when New York got hit with Sandy. They were lining up around the block, pushing in on the doors to get the new iPhone.
Yeah, that's their Air Jordans.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just confined to either white or black. I mean, people
but,
they just love material shit.
Yeah, but
the only the difference is that that your community there has a little bit more resources and money to
right.
spend
so,
than
so
than
they,
black people do. I mean,
yeah,
I find it quite
iPhones when they first come out. See?
Yeah, that's. I find it strange when you're living in the so-called quote ghetto, and then you buying $200 pairs of sneakers, but you don't have a job or you have to do, you know, these menial works and you're spending your money out. Then yeah, we don't have that extra resources to do that. As
good
we,
point.
Would say the.
Yep.
Good
well,
point.
Hold on. Let me bring Michael Lazarus in.
Uh-oh.
Michael who?
Hello, Michael.
Michael Lazarus.
You on here.
That's the
Lazarus?
Guy, California guy.
Oh.
Hello?
Yes, sir. You
hey,
here on the air.
So you're going to come at me like that, Low, and I was just getting ready to come on and agree with you and try to put a little expert on that right there. But
go ahead,
I just
man.
Wanted to
Don't...
say I just wanted to say that I was agreeing with Low. We've had this discussion before about, you know, as far as people taking their education and taking their wealth and leaving the black community, which is why we have remained in the ghettos much longer than any people that have been in ghettos within the United States have ever stayed there. I mean, we're just stuck in the ghetto and we can't get out. And, of course, yeah, you have a few people that make it out. If that's what's good, then that's what's good. But as far as, you know, getting an education and moving away, well, what you're doing is just leaving, you know, all the negative there for the youth to grow up and look at.
So that's the fault of the people who made it, got out of the ghetto, don't want to go back, so now it's their fault for leaving.
It's not their fault, but they're not doing anything.
They're not supposed
to
do anything.
The situation.
You freaking people are. You're supposed to do something. You're not supposed to wait for other people. That's the problem with black people.
It's not waiting for other people. It's
you are waiting.
These people something else.
No,
and
for
you,
God's
you sit there
sake.
And
take
you
responsibility.
You talk about what the Asians do. And as far as when you go to Chinatown, that's what you see. You see Chinatown. You don't see the Arab
that's
on the corner.
Right.
That's
right. You
corner
see
store
Chinatown.
Because they built their community.
So what's stopping you from building yours?
Their community. Exactly. That's all I'm saying. You're saying it's the right thing to go ahead and they don't have any responsibility to come back. Of course, yeah, they don't have no responsibility to come back. But then when they sit there and look at the stats and how abysmal they are, there's no real need to be disgusted at it because they didn't do their part either.
What are they supposed to do? What I don't get this shit. What is it other people are supposed to do for other people? You've got a family. You're raising kids. You instill in them responsibility and motivation. I don't understand what the problem is. To me, it's so fucking simple.
Well, Joe, you can't do that in the same neighborhood.
Why do they have to come back to a ghetto? You think Jews come back to the Jewish ghetto? You think Italians go back to the Italian ghetto?
No, they just turn their ghettos into towns.
Exactly.
Turn the freaking ghettos into towns.
Exactly.
But they're not waiting for people to come back to do it.
No, but they work together as a group.
I'm not saying you shouldn't have got your money, your education, and ran. You should have got your money and your education and did the same thing. I mean, I'm talking about the same thing that people are doing from foreign countries. They come to the United States, they get that education, and then they go home.
I wish they would go home. They stick around here too goddamn long.
You know, it comes down to resources. I understand what Mike and Lowe said, but it comes down to resources. That's what he's saying. You didn't got this high, you know, corporate job. You didn't got your education and what have you. Now you got a little bit of resources here, but instead of taking and put a little bit back into where you came from, you get as far away from it as you can. So I kind of understand what they're saying.
Well, people do the goddamn same thing. You think people are going to Hollywood? They say, well, you know what? I don't want to live in
Joe, let's
Burbank.
Not go to Hollywood.
I want
to
go
let's
back
not go to,
to
Hollywood. Let's not go
Joe.
To Hollywood.
But, Joe, as let's I said, as
or
I,
any,
so,
okay, any place. The thing is, you got to take care of yourselves and stop waiting for other people. That's the bottom
line.
No one is waiting for anyone. Yeah, you are, because
you're
saying, well, they get around, now there's a vacuum, now... You know, and then if they came back, we could help us build our own community. I guarantee you, they came back.
That's not what's being said. That's not what's being said at all. No,
it's
not.
So when Antonio's talking about if they leave, and then when you say if they come back, you can build the communities because you're piggybacking off of what he said. Now you're changing.
I'm saying they should have never left to begin with. You don't have to come back if you didn't never leave. You got this good job.
Okay.
You got this good education. Hey, you got this good education. And, hey, everybody in your community sees and knows that you got this good education. And
right,
then
so
you have this good job now. And everybody in your community sees that you have this good job now. It's
you
not
got,
this.
Hey, let me understand this. You said they
the
should never
dealers,
leave.
The pimps, the liquors, the liquor stores and everything like that. You see what I'm saying? Yes,
well, I'm
going
to try to understand. You've got
without the positive.
Oh, hold on, Joe. Hold on.
Okay. All right, you finished.
You're waking up. You're leaving out of your house, and you're being bombarded with all the negativity because everybody that was positive or that did something positive, they once they did it, they up and left. And I'm not saying that they're wrong or they're horrible people. But I'm saying that those people can't sit there and look at the stats and say, hey, you know, but why does this feel like this and all this other stuff? That just makes absolutely no sense.
So it makes more sense if somebody is a kid born in the ghetto, they've got values instilled in them so that they can try to get some good grades in a bad neighborhood where there are gangs, where people are pissing in the hallways, where the elevators are broken, where the cops don't want to go in. They get lousy, you get a lousy law enforcement. So the kid grows up, he graduates from high school, goes to college, and he's supposed to come back, raise a family in the same neighborhood that where the gangs are, where there are shootings, where the buildings are decayed. He's supposed to come back to that.
Okay, and what if he never left? What if he did college and all
right.
that stuff that you just mentioned,
right.
right where he was living at? And then once he did that, he said, hey, this house right over here next to the projects is open. It's available.
Right.
I'll buy that.
Okay.
And he's still in the community. What are you saying? He didn't leave the community. But now guess what? The people in the community have something else to look at other than the piston,
so
the
in other
elevator,
words, okay, so
all
the other people
stuff.
Now.
That's all I'm saying.
So the other people were supposed to look upon him as some sort of role model. But while he was growing up, he was supposed to be the kid who was the geek. He was lucky if he probably had any friends, because in the Chinese...
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Now you're going back to the whole...
All right, let's say that assumption's wrong. Let's say that assumption's wrong. But this kid who's growing up in a bad community, bad environment, gangs, he's supposed to never leave, even though there's a better house, better neighborhood that his income can buy, but he's not supposed to leave.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. Let's use that one, Joe. Let's use that one.
Okay.
What is the guy's name that's on the show with Michael Basin? The comedian guy that's on with Michael Basin. I can't think of his name right. Anyway, in Chicago, he and his wife went into this white, all-white neighborhood. This man got George Wilborn. This man is a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
He's successful. He's all over the radio and TV. And so he decides, hey, you know what? We're going to go and put the money down on this house that's been on the market for like 3 or 4 years. And we want to move in this white neighborhood. So after the white people that lived there found out that those were black people trying to buy the house, even though this man probably make and have more money than they do, they came over and told the agent, hey, you know, we talked to the owners of the home, and we would rather that you didn't sell the house to black people. So what the hell do you do then? You've done everything right. You've done everything you were supposed to as far as trying to live up to the quote-unquote American dream. And, well, I'm going to get out of the ghetto. I'm going to get out of the hood. I'm going to get over here with these white people because they got nice yards. You've done all of this stuff that you're supposed to do. And when you try to get over that, they don't want you.
No, white's so never going to want black.
Okay, and so that's where I'm coming from, Joe. Stay in your own neighborhood and raise your neighborhood up from the inside. You don't have to, I guess I'll go over to the ghettos and help out the poor blacks.
Stay in your own neighborhood
and... Instead of you got a 12, 13-year-old boy looking at a dope dealer with the biggest car around and the nicest clothes and everything, you have a man that's going to work every day. And the majority of those people around are going to respect this guy because, hey, he's done something that none of us have done. You know, this is a guy that I can take and talk to my kid about, hey, well, you know, as far as college and all of these things, I know you're thinking about going to college. I know you're a good athlete because, you know, that's all we can do is play basketball or football. And this will be the guy, because I'm a blue-collar guy, I can bring my son to this guy and say, hey, you know what, would you talk to my son about the importance of his education also in lieu with being a good athlete? Because this would be a pretty good example right here, as opposed to going and talking to Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley is a whore for money, so he'll say anything. He put a dress on for money. I wouldn't have anybody listen to that fool.
Why, when he says he's not a role model, he should have said he is a role model?
Well, you know what? To a degree, we all are, whether we like it or not. We all are.
That's the fallacy of people, because nobody should be a role model for other people except parents.
Well,
not even
maybe
teachers.
That's true.
Not
maybe
even
that's
teachers.
True, but that's not the world that we live in.
Well, then people have got to adjust to it. They can't keep pointing at the world and saying, well, it's not my fault. It's the world. The world's influence on me. But look, hey.
Oh, Lord. Hold on. Let me bring Vernon in. Vernon, I want to get some of this also. Hello, Vernon. You're on the air. What's going on, brother?
I'm doing good. How are you gentlemen doing today?
What's up, cuz?
Hey, what's going on, man? You know you pulled me in here, man. Yeah, you know that. Well, I'm kind of with Joe, man. You know, blacks need to quit looking at excuses and everything as to why this ain't this and that ain't that. And, you know, every ghetto out there, there's somebody in those ghettos that work every day. It's men, people that go to work every day. And they still getting worse. They're not getting any better. So go to work every day and what it's like to, you know, go to college and all that stuff, that's not going to change it, man. Like I said, you know, they see people do that every day. Everybody that live in ghettos aren't just sitting on their ass every day. You know, it's working people that live in these ghettos.
And they got businesses there. That's right.
Yeah, they got businesses and things there, so that's not even the problem. But when black people see the local drug dealer, the big man, I ain't talking about any pissant neighborhoods. I'm talking about when you get to places like Detroit, to Chicago, or New York. These, you know, when they see these guys with all these fancy things, that's what they want. They want the fast life. That's what they want, the fast life. And then it remains a ghetto. They're not interested in what the working man's doing. He's almost invisible to them. That don't mean nothing to them. So I'm if it was me, and I had an opportunity to move out of the ghetto and leave that ghetto, I would get the hell out of there, man. I would get the hell out because you can give all you want. You can kill until you ain't got no more to give and ain't nothing gonna change, man. Our people are some of the worst people to be around, man. You get too many of us in one place, you ain't got never a problem. That's just the truth about it. I don't give a damn what to do.
Everybody got muted all of a sudden?
No.
Me personally, I have not given up on my people. I'm sorry. You can give up on them all day, all you want. You can move far away.
I'm not saying I give up on them, but I see what I see, man. I see the truth. I see what they do. I'm not going to stick myself in no situation like that. Just being foolish, saying, well, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and show them what a positive role model, what a working guy do every day, and we're gonna try to do. Yeah, we can try to. Yeah, we're gonna build a black neighborhood. Black neighborhood needs the black people need to get together and do that as a whole.
I wonder how many people, after hearing Rosa Parks sat her ass down on that bus, went and sat their ass down on the bus. All it takes is one person.
Rosa Parks was tied.
Hey,
Rosa
Parks. I wonder
Parks
how many other people
Rosa
they were tied
when,
the very
Rosa
next day.
When, Rosa Parks was numbered a tied black woman, brother. That's it.
And I want to know how many other people were tired. Very tired right after hearing that story the very next day.
Rosa Parks wasn't the first black person that got in trouble for sitting down on the front of a bus. You better read your history, partner. She wasn't the first black person to do that. She just did it. When she did it, it was at the right time. It was during the civil rights movement. That's the only difference that was there.
Buddy, I know her history, and I know that she wasn't the first person to do it. You're taking that out of context, partner.
Once that story broke,
how many people wanted to emulate that? How many people wanted to jump on that whole bandwagon right there? That's what I'm saying.
There was an organization behind Rosa Parks. That particular thing was planned. That's the same organization that was behind Martin Luther King, who put Martin Luther King up there in the forefront of the civil rights movement. It was planned, and it took 4 years for the Selma boycott to have an effect.
Hey, well, we might need a plan. And what I'm talking about is a plan. I'm not talking about cutting and running. I'm talking about a plan.
Agenda?
So what are you saying? Exactly.
What I'm saying is that people didn't hop on the bus right after Rosa Parks. It was planned. They had to get. It took a lot of hard work.
It's gonna take a lot of people to do it, man.
Yeah, because I've done my research. I've been on too many.
I guarantee the numbers increased after that incident. And I'm not saying that to say that nobody did it before, that it wasn't done before. I'm not saying that. Just like I wouldn't say that nobody tried to bring black people together before Martin Luther King. Come on, that's ridiculous.
Well, you just finished saying Rosa Parks was the first person. I was not the first person. You just finished saying that less than a minute ago.
Right.
So you're contradicting yourself now.
No, I'm not.
So which is the story? Either Rosa Parks was the first person or she wasn't.
He said she was.
I didn't say anything about her being the first.
Yeah,
I
you said Rosa
that,
Parks was the first.
No,
I was not the first. Because I haven't listened to this. Look, the whole thing is, everybody's got to do it for themselves. If you're going to keep waiting for other people, you're always going to stay right where you are. Plain and simple.
Well, quick question. My question is, you know, why is it always the first thing to do is to cut and run, though, as soon as you get a little
money? People don't want – look. It's like white people always got out of their fucking neighborhoods. There have been ghettos for white people. The Italians, when they got here, lived in ghettos. The Irish lived in ghettos. The Jews lived in ghettos. And when they got money, they got the fuck out. And they didn't come back. Some did.
Hey,
most didn't.
Hold on, Joe. Joe, I got something for N.O. Lowe. N.O. Lowe.
Yeah.
Won't you go back home and move over to the guns and live there, man? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And build it up. I want to see you build it up.
Well, N.O. Lowe don't have the means to do that.
Oh, N.O. Lowe can do it.
I will tell you why. I wouldn't do it because if I was successful, but those white people would not be one thing. Everything could keep that away from being there.
Well, the white people, yeah. I mean, look, who's denying that prejudice does not exist or white privilege does not exist? And I've already said, right, black people got to work a hell of a lot harder in order to get to move up the ladder. But,
of course.
But prejudice isn't the only obstacle in the way.
Oh, no, it's not. I agree with that. You know, I don't have a problem with trying to make a situation better. And you have to have some people because you're going to have some people that's there with you trying to make it better. You know, but just cutting and running and leaving it, I don't just see that as being the answer, though.
I don't see that as being the problem. Because people have been leaving for how long have immigrants been coming over here? That's since the turn of the century. There have been German ghettos. I didn't mention the German ghettos before.
Mm-hmm.
But when people came over here, they lived in ghettos.
Mm-hmm.
They got out.
Joe, again, I'm going to ask you, is it ever on record anywhere that the federal government did anything in the world to hold those people back?
How's the federal government holding black people back?
Didn't you just say COINTELPRO said yourself?
Oh, yeah. I mean, during the Civil Rights Movement, yeah. I mean,
exactly. Is there anywhere on record, since you brought up the Jewish people have in the...
Oh, yeah. They were doing the same thing with the 99%ers. The, what was it? The Wall Street, what do they call them again? That happened last year.
Occupy Wall Street?
Yeah, the Occupy. They were doing that shit with them. They were doing it with the crowd for the Democratic... convention and the Republican convention, they haven't stopped. But the thing is that black people, just like, you have to pretend you're Chinese, you don't know fucking English, and you have to try harder.
Mm-hmm.
That's what black people have to do. Because
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not.
And
not
I don't,
at all.
You know, and I don't, I understand the resentment black people have, but every time I'm on a show, it's always the whitey's doing it to us. The whitey's doing it. Whitey is doing it, but not to the same degree as pre Jim Crow. You know, black people got to get an education, or they got to, you know what you got to do? You got to redirect your focus towards businesses. That way, you own your own shit.
I'll agree with that also. I do. But, you know, I'm not trying to say. Wow, what is that?
I don't know. Eric's got his show.
I don't know. Somebody
in
got
the ocean
a lot of noise,
though. Yeah, but I'm not trying to change the direction you're going
forget
in.
You,
as far as those Occupy Wall Street people, I did a little reading and research into that. And some of those people that were actually out there spearheading that situation, they were paid to. They were paid to do it.
Oh, Michael's doing it? Yeah.
I mean, had infiltrators.
California, Michael.
Oh. You know, they got infiltrators, yeah. Look, nobody except people in Congress are thinking about what the middle class is thinking, because Congress wants to ruin the middle class. They want to ruin everybody. And they're going to start with black people. They've already been starting with black people. Black people don't wake the fuck up, you're going to be extinct.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, because I didn't know that the numbers were so high, y'all, as far as abortions. Man, it's just outrageous, the numbers. I can't remember what they are. I was looking at that the other day. As far as the abortion rate for black people, you're absolutely right. We're going to wind up being extinct. Not to mention the foods that we eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you try to talk to people.
You can actually grow food. I mean, there's a movement that, you know, you can grow your own food through aquaponics. And you know, you can grow food in the suburban areas, fresh food, organic food.
What happened? Mm-hmm. Oh man! Oh.
In the suburban areas, yeah, I go with that. But you know, you can't do that if you only have a stoop to sit on out front. You know.
No, but there's a lot of abandoned buildings though in the area that you can. There's a lot of land in there you can use to build, because you don't need much room for aquaponics to grow your own food.
Yeah. Yeah, brother, but, I mean, when you look at that situation right there, it's just like you got the GMOs now and all of these hormones they put in food and all of this stuff. The government, those people in Congress and the Senate, they know about this stuff. They don't give a damn.
Well, this is information. This is as far as we're talking about education and school of life, this is information you can spread to the community and it doesn't cost you anything. I mean, if you can buy $300 pairs of sneakers, you can get heirloom seeds for you know, a bunch of them.
I can agree with that. But who would have the time and the patience to actually sit there and watch that garden grow? I mean, you know.
No, there's people. I mean, actually, there's people like currently who are not doing anything at all, and things like this would get them. Number one, you can create jobs doing this. Two, you feed the people a fresh food.
Yeah.
So
and
if
the one
you don't, there's always others who will. I mean, and you know,
right.
There's people in the community that have a lot of time on their hands who can do this.
They're the ones with all the time on their hands is smoking dope. I guarantee you.
Well, there's others who are not,
though. That's crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me put the question out there. I know we haven't discussed it, so maybe we need to get on the topic for today real fast. Street smarts versus formal education. What you think about that? Who's got the upper hand? I just want to see what y'all going to say. You know,
I think
you got
street
the,
smarts.
You say street smarts?
Uh-huh.
Why you say street smarts?
I say street smarts because just as Joe said a few minutes ago, all the industry and all the businesses are leaving or have already left this country. I mean, you go to school and you get a ton of education. Not to mention that you have to pay back all this amount of money for that education. And when you get out, you can't find a job that's sufficient. God, dog, that's sufficient for all this education you have.
Well, that's happening with white people, too.
Huh?
That's happening with a bunch of white people, too.
We ain't talking about race no more, Joe. God,
no. I got disconnected, so I got out of the loop for a second.
Okay. Yeah. Free smart versus formal education.
Huh? I personally think you need a little bit of both, man.
Well, we say pick one or the other.
I mean, if you pick one over the other, you're going to be dumb one way or the other, man. I mean, if you're too educated, you're going to be dumb. If you're just going on straight street smart, you're going to be dumb, man. So you have to kind of bring them both together a little bit and use that, man. I mean,
To be realistic, you're going to have to combine street smarts with a college education to know when to use a college education and to know when it's good for you.
Well,
you know,
50%,
what is it? What are the stats? I think something like 50% of college graduates in the past few years are in jobs that are either they're overqualified for, which means they're not getting what they paid for, and they have to pay back these loans to get jobs and paying them like a little bit over minimum wage, or they're not working.
Mm-hmm.
So a college education, you know, it was the title of the article was, well, not the title, but part of the article was, you have to have a college education to be a file clerk nowadays. Literally.
Yeah, this is Mr. Solution. Is my mic open?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And it's a good subject. And an example of what you were talking about, and there are myriads of them, I was at the dealership just the other day, and they treat me very well, by the way. And I was able to get a 15. Hello?
They're supposed to.
Well, sure they are, but I ensure that they do. I got a 15% discount. I got a free loaner car, and I said, why are you doing it? Fill it up with gas. No, I'm just teasing. I paid for the gas. But I did get a, which is unheard of, according to the people that I heard feedback from. So, I mean, one does need a combination of both, as I think Joe alluded to and the other gentleman, is that you need the college education because that teaches you what the society is based upon. And then, of course, your street smarts, I would just use that as the practical application of your education for the benefit. Because, see, the whole thing is a very good word is exploit. Exploit means to put to productive use. And so you use your street smarts to exploit, and it doesn't mean to misuse. I'm not using exploit in the sense where you take advantage of someone, but you're just able to get what you need. You're able to, you follow what I'm saying? You're able to, and I feel very good, and they know they have a customer. This has been an ongoing relationship, but I take my car there, you know, all the time. I mean, for the annual checkups, and I get it detailed, fully detailed. So they know I'm a damn good customer. It's a quid pro quo arrangement. You see? Does that make sense? Do you follow that?
Yes, I follow it.
I can get a good deal anywhere. I don't need there to be anything on sale. I know the people to speak to. I love that.
Yeah, but, I mean, the thing is, I mean, when I said street smarts, I'm under the impression that the man that asked the question was one or the other. And that's why I answered the way I did. So, you know, just to go down the middle, you know, and then cop out on the answer, you know, that if that's what you want to do. But if you had to prefer one over the other or choose one over the other, the street smarts or the education, I think that's the way the question is put out there.
Yeah, but see, what has to be done, that question has to be altered. It has to be repositioned. You have to have both, and I think that's what people – I understand what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
Someone needs to mute. You can't have one or the other. You need both. And I would ask someone, too, to just step forward and define or give their meaning of so-called street smarts. What does that mean?
Street smart.
Hello, did anyone leave the room?
Oh, right. Where's everybody? I guess they're listening. Okay, to me, street smart. Huh?
Go ahead. I'll tackle that when you finish.
Okay. To me, street smart means you have an instinct as far as what's right and what's wrong, what's about to happen. You can handle yourself out there no matter what. You haven't had any formal education, but you're to the point to where you can talk about anything. You can conversate without a problem. You know, and you haven't had any formal education, basically. You know, any college, anything like that. But you can hold your own out there in the world. That's what it means to me. Go ahead, Lo.
That was good enough for me. I mean, I was just going to say the same thing in different words, but, you know.
In a
nutshell, that's – go ahead, Nut.
And that's the reason I say you need a combination of both because, you know, it's going to come a point when you're going to – even with the street smarts, you're going to need some education. And even with the education, you're going to run into problems where your education don't teach you about something that
need to be motivated, and that's basically it. You got to get the resources you don't have. You have to find them. That comes from motivation.
What about you, Anthony?
You know, and there are a lot of black people who have made it. Why don't people just get on the internet or they got people on Block Talk Radio shows who talk about successful black people? Because I get tired of hearing this shit all the time.
My question is, what's success? I have my own personal definition for success. You know, my parents, they're not millionaires or any of that dumb shit, but I guarantee you, when either of the two pass and go on, the majority of the community will be there in mourning with them. Not just because it's a big show, and it's because they have actually put time in with people and with the community and everything else that people love them, you know. And they did handle their business and everything else as far as finances and stuff like that, but, you know, what is actually just to that's my definition of success. Now, if you have to have a bunch of money and a bunch of fake ass people that don't give a damn about you when the money runs out, that's not success. So, you know, I guess it's on a personal basis, but what is your definition? What is the true definition of success? I guess it's on a case by case basis. You know, I can live comfortably with the career I have right now and do all the things that I want to do. And the thing about it is I'm still putting back time and energy to the community. That's more successful to me than anything else. Just being able to pay my bills and to go on vacations anywhere I want to go and all of this and all of that, and to be able to go pay a bunch of money for some tickets or buy a $50,000-$60,000 car, that's not success to me. That's just being able to buy stuff. So, you know, I think it's a case-by-case basis to me.
All right.
Success should mean happiness. If you're not happy, you're not successful, okay? You can have the outer trappings of success, like in Hollywood or the politicians. They have it all, the rich people. They can buy anything, but they're not happy because there's a void in their life, their soul. They don't have one. And then there are people who are very, very happy with money. You have to have an emotional balance. You have to have money. If you don't have money to pay the bills, then you're worrying about where to get the money to pay the bills. But if you have enough money and you had enough saved, and if you're emotionally there, emotionally at a place in your life where you're feeling pretty good, I would think that's success.
All right. So I guess here's the question. So, Joe, what you're saying is you got to have money to have happiness and to be considered successful?
No, you have to have money so that you don't feel miserable. You don't have to have a lot of money to feel successful. To feel successful, you feel good about yourself. You have enough money to pay the bills. You don't have to be materialistic because a lot of people, for example, I'm going to go back to Hollywood again. These people need strangers to clap for them in order for them to feel loved. They'll never feel happy, no matter how many Oscars they win, because there's a void in their soul. There's a hole in their soul. But you can be a butcher. You can have enough money to pay your bills. You have a fairly successful, you're running a butcher business to make a profit. You've got decent friends. You have a decent family. That should be success, too. That person is going to be happier and better off than some clown in Hollywood who's, you know, getting all the attention and the accolades and the Oscars, but he knows that inside his self-esteem is damaged.
Yeah, money in and of itself is not success, but it certainly lays the foundation. It lays the structure for success. No matter what else you have, and this is particularly true in a capitalistic society, but virtually in any society, you have to have money or money equivalent, okay? Money is just a convenient word of saying store of assets, store of wealth, whereas one has access to it when they need it. But right, I would say that many of the Hollywood people have no soul. They've never developed their soul. And I've often said, just in passing, if you think about a real successful thespian, that means they've gotten the right movies and acting parts, who are they? I mean, at any one time, they could be any script that they've already, you know, familiarized themselves with. So the point of it is you don't know who they are, and many times they get lost in different acting roles. You take this Lindsay Lohan, and I don't know why they keep parading that absolute failure. Now, she's a failure. If we can't define success, we can certainly damn find a failure. But, yeah, right. Being motivated, you know, the education, the way the system is supposed to.
Take it in my room.
Excuse me?
That's Shasta on the line.
I'm sorry, everybody.
Oh, you're going to take it in your room, Shasta. Okay.
Really, I just hopped on real quick because I heard success. I heard somebody mention success, and I just wanted to put my little two cents in and say that success didn't necessarily have to do with anything to do with money or monetary gain. Success could be in achievement. I relate success to achievement, so it could be an accomplishment that made you successful that didn't have to do with any money or any monetary gain. So I don't believe that happiness equals money or money equals happiness. Yeah, because I know some people so poor all they have is money. And that's my two cents.
Well, I think success is emotional. There are people who do achieve. I'm sure there are a lot of people who have achieved the Super Bowl trophy and not happy.
Yeah, I mean, look at what's the guy's name? Junior Seau. You know,
committed suicide. Yeah.
Yeah, he committed suicide, and I told somebody before the only reason I think he committed suicide was because he never won that Super Bowl ring, so he never felt successful. I mean, I sat and watched his career, and he jumped to a team at the end of his career that he knew would bring that ring to him. You know, Dan Marino has all the money in the world. You know.
Oh, he's got to feel miserable, too.
Yeah, he's miserable. He admitted it.
Yeah, see, Seau is not a good example. Wasn't that the football player? He played for the San Diego Chargers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played for the Chargers and the Patriots.
Yeah, Seau was brain damaged. He had multiple concussions. Were you aware of that?
Yeah. I was, and
okay, so,
I don't think that was a reason for him to commit suicide. I don't believe that.
Well, what people have to do, and see, this is a reason it is so difficult for black people. Black people do unnecessary dick measuring. They're always trying to outdo each other. Even once they get the prize, it's air. They have nothing. So instead of being substantive, they're primarily symbolic. Okay, and so there's a fundamental ignorance of essence. They don't understand essence. And their whole thing is to try to argue someone and repel and resist.
Man, I don't care what you say. Just because them damn doctors come up and say, oh, he had brain damage, whatever. There's been many football players that got concussions and everything. Steve Young hasn't committed suicide. No one's had more concussions than he did.
Well, no, it affects different people in different ways.
I just wanted to say, too, you know, that man, he could have won 5 Super Bowls and still would have did suicide. So I don't think he, you know, it was a situation he lost the Super Bowl and he wanted to kill himself. And that's just my point on it. And I really hate when people say that about this man, that he killed himself and did suicide because his career in football wasn't going good. They want to quick to point the finger on that. And I hate that, you know, that he has to be, you know, labeled as that, and his family has to hear that. You know,
brother, his career was over. And the only thing that he could do, instead of being, aside from, they didn't allow him to become a whore at ESPN, so the only thing he could do was he was on, like, one of these little reality shows where he was, like, going into factories and driving forklifts and, you know, doing stuff like that.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, well, see, this is the other thing, and speaking to the man before Lowe, if he had been balanced, let me just ask this gentleman. I think I heard conclusive information. It's easy to check it out. But related Seau's suicide with his having multiple brain injuries, do you accept that as being factual?
Do I accept him having multiple brain damage, and it is the reason for him going to have suicidal thoughts and tendencies and decide to kill himself?
Well, as a contributor, yeah, to his committing suicide, that he had brain injuries suffered throughout his career.
I'm not really sure.
Okay.
I don't know. But I wouldn't think it was because he killed himself. Oh, life is over because I can't win no damn, you know, metal gold-plated trophy. You know, this man's He's done well.
I think we can safely say we don't really know. But when a person's when a person's career is over, for example, in 1929, who committed suicide? Rich people. They didn't even lose their fortunes. They lost part of their fortunes because the stock market was crashed. And they jumped out of buildings. Remember, that's famous. That's something we all learn in school about the stockbrokers and the rich people who just jumped out of windows because their status went down. Their self-esteem was tied to their status. They committed suicide even though they had some money left. It's poor people don't commit suicide. It's the rich people who commit suicide.
But I think what wealth does, though, for a person is it gives them options. I agree it doesn't make one's life. But it does allow them options. For example, I think a person, say, who is depressed. Take Seau, for example. Assuming he didn't have brain damage, I lean in that direction. He could have gotten help. He could have taken his money and gotten help. And that's the whole thing about life is being able to get what you need. And as I often say, there's always someone who presently possesses and certainly understand everything you need, whether you know it or not. They have it right now. You just have to learn how to make the transfer. You have to be motivated enough to make the transfer. Does that make sense? Is there a consensus on that?
You guys, it makes sense. When you're a successful person with a lot of money like that, and you're around a lot of people that know you got a problem and won't say nothing, that really doesn't help either. You know, this one guy from the Lakers. You know, what's his name? His name is now World Peace.
Ron Artest.
Yeah. He had somewhat semi problems with what we're talking about. Not to the point of killing himself, but he just reacted really badly to situations. And a lot of people around his circle was telling him, hey, man, go get some help. Go do something and just go down somewhere and talk to somebody and see what the problem is. And he's talking to someone, I think, maybe 2-3 times a week about just, you know, dealing with his emotions a little bit better. And if people had just that kind of circle around them of supporting them about, hey, man, go get some help instead of, well, you know, I'm not going to say that because this successful millionaire is helping me get anything I want. I think Michael Jackson went through that for a while, too.
Yeah.
Who am I to say, hey, man, you need to go see a doctor about this depression thing you got when because of his lifestyle, my lifestyle has completely changed overnight.
Well, you know what about this depression? Hold on, right. You know about this depression thing? See, this is what happens when you give people money, a lot of money, and they don't know what the hell to do with it. So they party up. You know what? You can only party so often. I mean, you can't do it every damn day. But see, these people, they expect to party every day, and that's what throws them into depression. Just trust me. I mean, I even had little episode at one time when I'd be partying all the time. Then I kind of started feeling lonely.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I slapped myself in the face, woke up and it's just like, hey, come on, who the fuck are you?
You growing
you got
up.
The fucking, yeah. And
yeah,
it's just, they, it's like babies with money. You mean they don't know what the fuck to do. They're crybabies. They're, you know, complaining about, you know, little things. Hello, you have money. Look at a poor person in a country.
But they're
you
not
cry
mentally
about your
stable.
But all that proves to us is that money doesn't mean everything. If we can look at superstars who have everything, and we can look at somebody in poverty and see that there's still a big need there, then what does that tell us? That even people who have everything don't have everything, right?
Well,
there's always something missing.
Stable, though, to begin with.
But you got
to
find it.
You know,
that's
I was telling my brother there was this big – I love to play Powerball. I think it's fun. You know, who knows? I might win one day. And about 2 years ago, the Powerball was about $350 million. And I told my brother, you know what, man? If I win $350 million after taxes, whatever that is, maybe 200-something million left, I would have to go see a counselor. I need a therapist. I don't know nothing about this kind of money. And, yeah, that would – now I could see a little bit better about personal money, they lonely, and what you're saying. And I would really need somebody to talk to, you know, get my head back. I've never seen that kind of money before. I would need a therapist.
How about $50,000?
Well, it sounds like a financial advisor is what you need.
You know, a lot of people can't handle
it. Yeah, I said that too, and I need a therapist. I need a financial planner.
Yeah.
Somebody
there's a history of people who have won the Powerball, won lotteries, and they still live like they still hillbillies. They don't know what to do with the money, and they go broke.
Don't know what. Within like 3 years, there's a guy in my state right now. He won the biggest Powerball in Illinois in history, and within 6 months, he was broke. He was in debt.
Hey, I have a question, I believe, for the gentleman that's speaking. What about $25,000 to $50,000? Would you know what to do with that?
Oh, of course. Yeah. But, I mean,
okay, well, wait a minute. Let me ask you another question. You said you would know what to do with it.
Yeah. But
so you have that already?
Here we go.
No. No, I don't.
Okay, you don't have it.
No, not at this moment, no.
Ask me.
Okay. Well, you can tell, do you?
Hey,
I do.
Okay. See, the point is this. When you start talking about something that is so extreme, and somebody just said, you made a slick mouth comment, here we go. Who said that?
That's why I asked. That's why I asked the question, because I was like, I want to see where this is leading to, where this is going.
It's not but one lady on here, and there was a lady voice that said that, man. You know exactly who said that.
I don't know who said it. That's why I asked. But see, that's the point. When you get people talking about, if you look at your chances of winning the Powerball, they're virtually zero. You do have a chance, however, of amassing between $25,000 to $50,000. So I would say get to work on the latter instead of the former.
No, I want to do the big one. I want to think big. I want $400 million. You know, because
well, remember, 25 to 50 is on the way to there. So do
that.
That's
fine. Yeah. Actually, I've won a nice amount playing the lotto, so I enjoy playing it. You know, I won $5,000.
Eric, let me just say this, and then I got to run. But Eric, do you see the point that's developed here? That's the exact point. You have people who don't know what to focus on and won't focus on the right thing. In other words, fantasy is more attractive than reality.
Amen to that. Amen to that. I'm glad you said that,
okay.
Mr. Solution.
I do see.
I'm glad you said that.
I like playing the Powerball, so I'm going to keep playing it. $400 million every time I play it. That's my fantasy. I enjoy it.
We all want to hope for better, and that we can
–
you know, get better some way, somehow, that there'll be a token into that. And we see that it happens in other people's lives, so it makes you think, why couldn't it happen for me?
Why couldn't it happen to me? It's like a TV show for me. Okay, hey, entertaining.
Right.
I'll spend $2
on
it.
But
let me understand, why couldn't what happen to me? Am I working to amass the $25,000 to $50,000?
Well, I'm not going to downplay what he said originally, which was the big amount. And what he said was the chances were that he could win it, and that's what he was going after. But I understand what you're saying too, Mr. Solution. You're saying, okay, well, you can work hard and have $25,000 to $50,000. Okay, we understand that. But he's just saying I'm hoping for the big bucks when I play, when I'm gambling this.
That's
what gambling.
I want.
Yeah,
like
but the
going
point
to a casino.
Is,
person
who
so we hope we strike rich.
You've got to balance reality with unreality, okay? You can put
well,
in the $2 every week, but with the odds of being over something like 24 million to one.
So what do we say? Okay, I understand what you're saying, but what do we say to the people who have actually won? We're telling them that too? Oh, the odds were against you. Shit, they won.
You can go
so
online
I'm saying
and look
the
at
odds
all
are against us in a lot of things that we do.
Then
you
go for it.
Look at the winners.
Right. That's what I'm saying, Joe. We're going to go for it because the odds
but
are against us in a lot of things.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, but see,
that's the
see
whole
people
point of
don't know how to use their money to make it work for them.
The people
you know?
Don't know how to invest.
Invest,
right.
Exactly. Invest. That's the best thing you could do. Even if you say, for instance, something does fail, you always get a kickback. For
right.
real. Invest is always a good option, and people don't realize that. They always want to, oh, I want this. And then when you have all that, what the hell are you, you're going to be sitting there with all your stupid items that later on are going to be less than 15% of what you bought them for? I mean, that's
people
how people think nowadays.
Not necessarily. I think sometimes it's a lack of what you know. It's a lack of knowledge. So a lot of people don't know.
No, Google's out there. Google tells you
a lot of
everything
don't,
you want to know. Google
okay, let me finish.
Will tell you everything you
I,
want
I hear
to
that.
Know.
I hear that. So does Ash Jeeves and a lot of other sites. Being okay,
right.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is for the relative average person, maybe they don't learn about money or haven't the way that you have. Or how about it starts when you're young and when you have young kids and you teach them how to write checks in a checkbook, how to earn credit and what credit means to them. I mean, like, this starts young. This is something that you're raised learning, the value of money and how to work hard. That's like your mom, you telling your mom, hey, I want this new bike. And your mom says, ooh, that bike's $150. Well, if you get out here and you cut some yards and you come up with $100, I'll match you. You see what I'm saying? It's you teaching somebody the value. What if you didn't learn
right.
that? Yeah, you'll come up with a whole bunch of money and splurge it. You didn't know what the hell to do with it to begin with.
And that's why I would need
it's
a therapist
knowledge,
and a financial plan. I don't know what
no,
to do with this money.
It's not just knowledge. It's it goes beyond that. It's emotional.
Emotional?
It's emotional imbalance. Because people are always blaming other people. And Goofy's right. Ever since the internet really got, really prominent, when people can access it. I mean, not like when they had dial-up, but now you can really access it very, very quickly. The answers are there.
Okay.
I mean, you don't
well,
even
sometimes...
have to go to the library. You don't have to buy books. You just sit down in front of your computer. You type. The answers are there. But people...
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
You ever wanted to get to somewhere? You ever had a destination you wanted to get to, but you didn't know how to get started or you didn't know how to get there?
Right.
You ever had that happen in life? I think
yeah.
all of us have.
Sure.
It's something
sure.
you wanted to get to, and you just didn't know how to start.
Right.
That happens with some of us.
That happens
we
with everybody.
We want to, but you might not know where to start. You can give me the internet all day long, but doesn't mean I know what to type to get it started. You can give me a
just
phone book and
start.
Tell me to go look up something.
Oh, type
I mean,
start.
Sometimes you just don't know where to start. And I think maybe in schools that could be helpful, financial planning, to help
but
these
you
young
know
people to know.
Your destination, though.
I know where
and,
I want
you know
go.
What you know, it's just common freaking sense.
Amen.
You know, you can... Oh,
common sense, so common.
Do it. You know, you're not taught anything in school, but then if you're going to be faced with eviction, you learn how to balance that goddamn checkbook quick.
Yeah, but we shouldn't have to learn that way. You shouldn't have to learn
yeah,
the hard
you
way
learn.
Like that.
You know, you just got to do it.
You shouldn't have to go to that extreme.
What extreme?
For you to, yeah, I mean, for you to get evicted, that's pretty extreme. For you to know
well,
the value
yeah,
of money.
Yeah, so you learn
where...
how to balance the checkbook. Even if you don't do it properly the first few times, you adapt. That's what human beings are supposed to do, adapt, if they have the brains and if they have the emotional wherewithal.
Yeah, sometimes some people just don't know how to get started. I'll go back to that. Sometimes you know what you want to do, you just don't know where to get started on doing it.
So what are you supposed
you know,
to do? Lock yourself
those out? People need help then. They, how the hell do you
they
take
do.
Shit and wipe your ass? If they don't know what the hell to do, how? Well, where they been, locked up in a closet for the rest of their lives? I mean, come on.
It's
common sense.
Never.
Yeah.
You know, you
well, common
look
sense
at everything
so common.
Around you and
you have
you
to
learn.
Understand, Goofy. Goofy, common sense ain't so common, and what's common to you might not be common knowledge to me. I think everybody can agree with that. Whatever's common knowledge to you may not be common knowledge to me.
To you is common sense, and let's see if it matches up with me.
Okay, cool. I mean, like, of course I would. I'm talking for the people who may or may not have it. I'm just saying, everybody's not going to think the way that we do.
You just said something that's not common sense to me will be common sense to you.
No, not common sense. I said common knowledge. The things that are common knowledge to you may not be common knowledge to me. So where you may know how to open up a checkbook and write out a check, that may not be common knowledge for me. I may not know how to write a check, so all I deal with is cash.
Then you ask somebody, or you buy a book, or you go on the Internet. It depends upon motivation. If you want to find out the answers to something, you go and find out the answers to something. You ask your relatives.
I'm going to tell you something. Okay. In the 90s, some fucking smart person made billions of dollars on, stupid books, those, Internet for Junkies or whatever, those fucking stupid books. And look, back in the day, self-help was the best thing because it actually helped people. But some people are just so stubborn to be like, hey, I don't want to do that. And then that's why they're stupid. But yet we're the bad people who happen to just know common sense from looking around us and watching, adults, teach us what, is good or what's bad or stuff like that. I mean, I don't know how some of these people fucking lived. I mean, Jesus Christ, I got kicked out of my house when I was 16. And you're telling me, 16-year-old don't know what the fuck to do shit. I had some cash. I went to go find me a place to stay, a motel.
Yeah.
And when I found my place to stay, I found out, I decided, what the hell am I going to do now? And that's when I started planning. I mean, it's not that hard. God gives us a brain.
I agree with some of what you're saying, but as far as saying that, you have people that are stupid, I kind of checked that at the door, and the reason being is because I know in different scenarios, just on this blog talk, that I've given damn good advice to different people as far as a couple of life situations that they could, alter or whatever, just to try it out. But it wasn't ever taken seriously because I'm not articulate enough or some dumb shit, I guess, I don't know. But all in all, hey, only advice I've given to people on here or whatever the case may be is damn good advice, So people are going to take whatever advice you have to give them, either take it in stride and run with it, or they're going to take it with a grain of salt. So, that's all on an individual basis.
That's the way of life, Lo. I've given advice to people who've hired me to consult with them about their businesses. Didn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're either bankrupt or close to it.
Hmm.
Okay.
All right. So it's a lot of people just don't want to hear anything that's different than what they already know.
Right.
I'll tell you right now, advice is good when it works. And you'll know when it works and when it doesn't work. Your own judgment.
No, advice is good when it's taken. People don't want to take advice.
Yeah. That's
true.
People listen.
Okay. And
because
in business, you would think that business owners, would take the advice and run with it. But when you get told, we just don't do that here. Well, no shit. That's why, this particular type of advice would be good for you. And if they don't want to take it, they don't have to take it.
That's true.
But that's in the business where you think people would be more motivated to make a profit. And what I'm saying is that even without that kind of motivation, in normal life, people don't take advice. People just don't want to change.
That even goes as far as you want to say personal relationships.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. Huh?
Especially in personal relationships where people could say, for you, I would change just a little bit. without compromising my principles. I would change in order to end this conflict. And then the other person should say the same thing. But people don't do it. People, human beings is fucked up in general.
Okay.
Well, we are. You know, I've told this before. I said, if we ever really learned en masse to escape, to attain escape velocity and leave this fucking planet and go out there to other planets, I pity whoever are the inhabitants of those other fucking planets. Because we will fucking kill them, torture them under the name of colonization.
Yeah.
And bringing Christianity.
Well, what are we going to do? Well, what is the intergalactic people going to do when they find out that one of our people showed their people how to dump their baby in a dumpster? You know what I mean?
I think other people already watch us, and they know what not to do by watching our species. I believe that there are already other people out there, and they watch us. We're like entertainment for them. We just don't know they exist. They know we exist.
Okay. Well, you know what? We're going to leave it right there. Maybe I need to do a show on that. Are we alone out there? Are we alone?
Intergalactic people.
That's a movie.
That's
it's actually a movie.
A show on.
Yeah.
It would be interesting. I would be a part of it.
See if I can get some psychics and all that on the show at the same time.
That would be cool.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I work on that one. All right, y'all. Well, you know, we got 10 minutes left. We're going to start with Goofy. Your last final words, Goofy.
Everybody have a blessed day and take advice. Like Joe says, it's always good to take advice.
That's cool.
I like that. All right, Big Chris?
Yeah. Aim big, think big, and turn it into reality. You never know what's going to happen. That's my life story.
I like that one. All right, Miss Shasta.
Well, as always, I say keep God first and be willing to help somebody else. Always humble yourself and be willing to help other people because you never know when that could be you.
Good one. Good one. All right. Moving right along. Mr. Joe?
Nothing.
Okay. Joe must not be feeling good. He must have got hit with some of that snow. Let's see. Michael Lazarus, are you there? No, he's not there. All right, Mr. Lowe.
Yeah. Hey, man, good show. Good, damn good show. Like I said before, to me, success is not in how much money you have or, you know, how many people you have around you kissing your ass because you have it. That's not success to me. It's an avenue. It's a vehicle to use, but I think success is more in how many people's lives you touch before you leave here, because ultimately nobody was put here to have a home with 50 rooms and you have another person that's sleeping on the streets. So I personally think that, you know, success is when you die, how people are going to talk about you. You know, it's one thing to just say, oh, you know, he's dead, and, you know, the world's going to miss a good person. And then it's another thing to say, fuck him, I'm glad that son of a bitch is dead. So not real talk, now, right or wrong.
You're right.
Yeah. So, you know, hey, just live life, enjoy your life. And if some of the things that you didn't accomplish, you know, you have people that say everything they touched, they accomplished it or whatever, whatever. Bullshit somebody else. Live life, enjoy your life, and just do whatever you can to make it better in the sense of humanity, because that's what we're here for anyway.
All right, bro. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right, y'all. We're gonna take a short 30-second break, and when we come back, I'll go ahead and give my final words.
The first in the Just Know series of inspirational fiction novels, No Condemnation by Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress, is heartwarming and emotionally engaging. You will be challenged and changed as you read the gripping story of Trinae Sloan, a young, single mother torn between her misplaced faith in her children's philandering father and what's best for everyone involved.
No Condemnation by Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress will be available in both paperback and ebook formats March 13th at Amazon.com.
All right, y'all. Don't forget March 13th, No Condemnation by Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress. And as I said, we had her on a show a couple of Saturdays ago, and an outstanding woman, so let's show her some support. All right, man, dude, have we talked about a lot of things today? I mean, we done went upside down, everything, and came back up the other side of something. Well, here's my closing remarks. As far as the black community, you know, we need to build our communities from the inside out, not the outside in. You know, but in order to do that, it takes resources. So if you have the resources, you know, it won't hurt you to put a little bit back in. You know, it never hurts. It never hurts. And stop going for that easy money, that fast money, as we call it, that fast money. Because as soon as fast you can get it, you lose it just as fast, whether it's by going to prison or just getting robbed or just losing it, doing dumb stuff. You know, and our communities need to work together. We really do. And as Dr. Claude Anderson says, you know, it's gotten so bad now to their neighborhoods. They're not communities anymore. You know, most people come home, go to work. They don't even speak to the neighbors. They don't even know who the neighbors are. You know, that's not a community. That's a neighborhood. You know, we need to get back to the communities and stop living in the past. Why are we still living in the past? What has happened in the past is the past. What you should be working for is the present and the future. If you concentrate on those two things, it'll take care of itself. Forget about what that happened in the past. The past is the past. It's over with. It's over. You know, let's work toward the present and making a better future. Not just for ourselves, but for our kids also. You know, pay our success forwards. Pay our lessons learned forward. You know, just stop holding on to stuff. You know, teach our kids. That's part of the problem we have with our kids. You know, because I'm thinking when we was talking back in the 60s and 70s and even the 80s, you know, neighborhoods was full of black middle-class families. You know, everybody knew everybody. Everybody would speak. You know, most time you went to the same church almost. We don't have that anymore in the black community. So we need to do that. But in order to do all this, we got to have the resources. We do. We need resources. Without the resources, we headed in the direction we headed right now. Nowhere. Nowhere. As far as the topic of the day, street smarts versus formal education, basically, I have to say, you do need a combination of both. You really do. You do, because that street smarts will keep you all right while you're out there in the world. But as far as formal education, sometimes you go in some places and you're going to have to utilize that education. And that's just the way the world is. In the words of the kids, it is what it is. All right, y'all. Once again, I want to thank everybody who called in. Mr. Solution, Low, Joe, Shasta, Big Chris, Michael Lazarus, Vernon, Goofy. Let's see, did I forget anybody? Hopefully I didn't. If I forgot you, it wasn't on purpose. I want to say thank you to Bible Truth by Benny for being in the chat room with me today. And everybody out there just listening on your phones, because without y'all, I wouldn't have a show. That's for sure. All right, don't forget, tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, the topic of the show will be, Are Women Requiring Marriage? Oh, boy, that's going to be a good one. All right. Well, don't forget to give that special someone a hug, a kiss. You know, tell them you love them, you appreciate them. Because sometimes we forget to do these things. And it's nice to hear. It really is. It's nice to hear. Because, you know, when they're not there any longer, you're going to wish you had done all these things. So make that happen today, okay? All right. Until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. I am out of here.
Let's talk.